Our scripture readings this morning, we actually have two, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. The Old Testament reading is a familiar passage, I know, to all of us. It comes from the prophet Ezekiel as he speaks to his people in exile in Babylon, talking of their restoration. The reading actually is Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. If you'd like to follow, you can do so in the pew Bibles in front of you. It's the Old Testament, page number 806. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out of the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can those bones live?" And I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The second reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And it's another story that we're all very familiar with. It's the story of the death of Lazarus and how Jesus raises him from the dead, and as he speaks to Martha about this resurrection before he actually performs it. And it's only two verses. It's chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. If you'd like to follow, it's in the New Testament section of the Bible, page 105. And if you are able, I'd ask you to rise for the reading of the gospel. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? So, words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Will you join me in a prayer? Gracious and loving God, as we wind down the 40 days of Lent, continue to prepare us for the new life that you have for us in Christ. It is in his most holy name we pray. Amen. It's hard to believe, but it's been about 10 years since my mother passed away. She's laid to rest at Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale. And every now and then we visit her graveside, especially on Mother's Day and on her birthday, like many of you do, I know, with your loved ones at those special times. A couple of years ago, one day, I was visiting her graveside. I laid the fresh flowers next to her headstone. And I remember it was a beautiful day. And for those of you who have been to Forest Lawn in Glendale, it's a very peaceful place. And so I decided to spend a little more time and walked around the area doing some reflections and talking to my mother and enjoying the background scenes. Her gravesite is located at the Church of the Recessional at the top of the mount, with the beautiful St. Gabriel Mountains in the backdrop. And then I remember myself glancing at some of the names engraved in the nearby headstones, until I came to a halt at the headstone just a few feet away from my mother's that had my name engraved, John Nguyen. I couldn't believe it. It was one of those surreal moments that gives you a chill. Now, I'm sure there are other John Nguyens in our nation, but not as common as, you know, John Kim or John Lee. And so I just stood there, stared at my name for a while, and I looked at the date of the birth and realized that it wasn't me. The John Nguyen buried there was born in 1972. Too young to be buried there. I then envisioned myself, much like Ezekiel in the Valley of the Bones in this morning's story, in a place where there's nothing but dry bones and skull, flesh in the body gone, muscles all gone, nothing but lifeless skulls and bones, and my skull and my bones are among them. After all, one day our loved ones will bury us. I wonder how you would feel coming face to face with your own death and with your own skull and with your own bones. It makes you shudder, I'm sure. Perhaps some of us will deny and say, hey, that's not me. My life is beautiful right now. It has a purpose. I am just too busy to think about death right now. But the skull, the bone says back, not for long. And you wonder if you hear a little smirk or a little chuckle. And it seems God is setting us up this morning also to confront us the struggle between life and death. Again, you can see it in our Old Testament reading from Ezekiel, when God brings Ezekiel out to the valley of the dry bones. And this is what Ezekiel wants us to face up to every now and then, every 3 years. If you follow the lectionary, Ezekiel has a vision in which God shows him how things are, and God talks to him about, I'm sure, what went on in the history of Israel. The setting is, again, a valley. In fact, have you ever stood at the bottom of a ravine and looked up at the cliffs on either side, just above, high above, and thought, there is no way out of here? And I think Ezekiel's thinking is the same thing. He has come to face his own mortality. But more importantly, this is the wreckage of the once mighty people of Israel. Because once the people of Israel, under the King David and Solomon, thought they had built a kingdom that was invincible and indestructible. And they did for a while. They had established a nation that was the envy of their enemies and their allies. And then came the destructions because of the sins, because of the arrogance, kings who were corrupted, their disobedience to God, who really was responsible behind their success. But they have failed to remember that. And then came the exile to Babylon. And so this was the scene. That is, Israel's dead. The temple had been destroyed. The holy city is now in ruin. Their soldiers are all chained and killed. It's been dead for a long time, and there seems to be no escape in sight. And that's what the Valley of the Bones means. A living death in exile, in a far away, in a foreign land. And this passage has captured the imagination of so many people over the years, for centuries. In fact, if you Google this text, you will find more than 90,000 references to this passage, including some drawings and paintings and illustrations from as early as the 3rd century. In one book, illustration paints a Lord in 1372 paint. The Lord is depicted as a young man leaning forward from heaven, directing Ezekiel's actions. Ezekiel is an old man preaching to the bones, the bodies rising from the wooden coffins and to the bones on the ground. And the question God asks Ezekiel is an absurd one. And yet it is a question that I think sums up the state of the people of Israel were in at that time. And the question is, can these bones live? Now, we all know they are Israel's bones, but they are really humanity's bones. They are your bones, my bones. And so we also ask, can these bones live? Now, turning to John's gospel this morning, Jesus has some answers for us. He says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Now, as Larry had alluded to this, Jesus first said these words to Martha, who was, I think, basically was asking the same question, having just buried his brother or her brother, Lazarus. And the question is, can his bones live? Again, you know the story. Mary and Martha were grieving this unexpected death of their brother Lazarus. Now, they knew that Jesus had known about Lazarus' illness. But for whatever the reason, he decided not to come right away. And 3 days later, when Jesus finally comes, Martha gives Jesus a piece of her mind. She says, oh, why bother now? It's too late, Jesus. He's dead, you know. If you had been here earlier, my brother would still be living, but he is dead. Where have you been? Nevertheless, Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb and said to the people, "Remove the stone." But there is Martha again. "Hey, there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. What are you trying to do?" In fact, in old, good old King James Version, she says, "Already he stinketh." "Can his bones live again? I want to know." In fact, this question in many ways is, I think, held up against so many in the world who have had their own experiences of dry bones. In my some 20 years of being a pastor, so many people have asked that, to which I had no answers. And some, especially when they had to bury their loved ones. And believe me, I have buried many people. I have buried from a stillborn baby to a three-month-old girl. From 16 and 20 years old to a 104-year-old woman. And it doesn't matter how old people in such time as burying their loved one always ask, "Can these bones live?" Not only that, people ask that question as they desperately try to amend or revive their failed marriages or broken families, broken lives. They ask, "Can these bones live too?" And I think as we wind down this land, perhaps it would be important for us to consider what dry bones and dry times are in our spiritual lives. Before Easter even gets here, God has to confront us with this disturbing truth. And as it came to Ezekiel, the question comes to us about our broken world, our divided nation, our threatened families with our troubled lives and our lonely souls, our fears and our fears of death. Can these bones live? Martha is asking, can his bones live? The family of that John Yoon buried just a few feet away from my mother's is asking the same question. Can his bones live? Can our family's bones live after such a tragedy? And God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, "Oh God, Lord, you know. You know." Now, I really don't know what Ezekiel was thinking or what he meant when he simply said, "Oh Lord God, you know." Or I don't know what I would have said if I was Ezekiel. But I do give Ezekiel credit for saying that, because desperate time calls for desperate measures. And so I think it was that kind of response from Ezekiel. I think what Ezekiel was saying was, "Lord, you know I don't have the answers. But I trust you do. I really do. Oh, Lord, you know." And then God tells Ezekiel then to prophesy to the dry bones. In other words, shout to the bones that God is going to make them come alive, come to life. And so Ezekiel shouts. And there's this rattling sound, if you can just imagine. Bones begin to move, attaching themselves one to the other. Ligaments and the tendons and muscles appear, giving shape to the skeletons who now stand up and walk about. Flesh begins to form. Skin starts to grow. And then there is that breath. And human beings appear. Life has been raised up from death. And God continues to speak. "These are the whole house of Israel, whose bones are dried up, whose hope is gone, who are cut off from their homeland. But, oh my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up." What a joyful word. to a nation that has been destroyed, that have been destroyed by Babylons in exile, dragged off into oppression. And now God is redeeming them, rebuilding them as a nation. There could be no better news than this good news for the people of Israel, that God would somehow resuscitate their hopes and dreams and give them their life back. In fact, as that old song declares, that old African-American spiritual song, "This bone's gonna rise again." And just as what Ezekiel had done with the dry bones by shouting into the bones, Jesus is also shouting into the death of Lazarus. "Lazarus, come out." And you know what happens, how the dead man sort of, limped forth out of the tomb, all wrapped up in probably linen strips like mummy. And Jesus tells the stunned spectators to unbind him and set him free, and they do, and Lazarus comes alive. The dead Lazarus comes alive. And the crowd responds in an amazing way. In fact, some came to believe in Jesus as the very source of life, overcoming death. What an incredible display of love and power. They have just witnessed a miracle, a new life. But then comes some people who choose death. Because there's a scene immediately following the raising of Lazarus where some of them, the religious leaders, went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. "What are we to do? This man is performing many signs, including bringing the dead man to life. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him." So what did they decide to do? They decide to put Jesus to death. And so here is this family who is thrilled to have their brother back. But the so-called religious leaders and others are less than thrilled, because this doesn't make any religious sense. This doesn't make any sense to their laws. And so they continue to choose death. And if you know the story, there were many at the time in those days, as they are today, who continued to prefer the death over the life. The death of captivity to the new life of freedom. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And we see that today as well. Human beings, at least some do, still choose death over life. They choose hatred over love. Now, why would people choose death over life? Again, I'm sure there are various reasons and responses. Perhaps it is because death already holds some people so tight, they just cannot even imagine the possibility of life outside its icy grip. We think like that when things don't go as we expected or wanted. When we don't get that particular job that we want. Or when our children doesn't get into a particular school that we want. Or if this one particular relationship doesn't work out. And I could go on and on and on as to why so many people choose to live in that death trap. People look at their own lives, their families, and their circumstances and say, "I can never be happy again. I can never forgive that person. God can never use me because I've been a failure. Or my life really doesn't matter. This bone's never gonna rise again." We simply give up on life because of that. This coming Thursday, we're going to do our last session of our Lenten study. And in it, we will be reminded by Pastor Rob Fukue, the author, that Easter comes because there is death. Easter occurs in spite of death. not in spite of death, but because of it. In other words, it's like saying, you can't get to Easter as much as we would just like to hurry to Easter. You can't get to Easter without the Good Friday. Or that saying from Tony Campolo, it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. And so if you are feeling right now there is some form of death in your life, let me just assure you that you are in the right place, because it is setting up for what God can do with that deadness, with that dry bones of your life. Because it's all about knowing God's possibilities, even in death, seeing what God can do. You know, sometimes we do get stuck. I get stuck very often. We get stuck. We get stuck as a family. We get stuck as a church, as a denomination. And we wonder if we will ever be that church or that denomination that we were once some 30, 40 years ago. Can these bones live again? But the God we can know is saying to us through Isaiah, behold, I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In other words, can you just hear it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Again, I have seen so many deaths in my short 20 years as a minister. But you know, I have to say that I have also seen so many resurrections taking place in the lives of people. I have heard so many stories of resurrections already in the life of the people here at TO. How your families were restored. You've seen the resurrection taking place in your children, in your marriage, in your family, in your friend's life. That's the God's possibilities that we need to know and we need to celebrate. And so here this morning, before we get to Easter, the Lord brings us to a crossroads in this image of the Valley of the Bones. And the question God puts to you and me is simply this: can these bones live? The bones of your family, your happiness, your society, your relationship, bones of your enemies, the bones of our broken and dried up world, can these bones live? And as Jesus Christ invites to the table this morning and into a new kind of faith, a faith that has room for a mystery and miracles, a faith that has room for living God at work among us, a faith that believes God loves us so much personally, is inviting us from death into life. A faith that believes this bone's gonna rise again. May we all respond like Ezekiel and say, oh Lord God, you know, I trust you. It's time to start shouting at those dry bones and see what God can do. And so Jesus says to all of us, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Amen.